Welcome everybody to the second Shiur of the Ramban, Parshas Vayikra. Last night, the first installment of the Shiur, we spoke about a Ramban at the very, very end of the Parsha, where he talks about the meaning of the Korban Asham. Tonight, just I guess in the spirit of an Ahafachu, it's Adar, we'll start with the very beginning of the Parsha. Vayikra al Moshe vaydaber Hashem elov me'ol moed le'moy, right? The Pasuk and indeed the Sefer. The Parsha starts off, Vayikra al Moshe, Hashem called to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem spoke to him from the entrance of the Ohel Moed, saying as follows. And then, of course, the Torah introduces the concept of the Korbanos. So the Ramban has two approaches over here to understanding this unique phraseology, Vayikra el Moshe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Ramban writes, this is the Ramban Aleph, Lo kein b'shar ha-mekomos. This is unusual, this is unique insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe Rabbeinu. We always find throughout Chumash, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Leimor, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying. But here we find that it's preceded by Vayikra El Moshe, he called to Moshe. It's unusual, it's unique. Why? Bavur Shelo Hayo Moshe Yochol Lavo El Ohel Moed. Liyoso nigash el hamakom asher shamho elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu could not go initially into the Ohel Moed because God's presence was there. The only way that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go to the Ohel Moed and to experience this closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rak bekriya sheyikra oso. The Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, had to invite Moshe Rabbeinu into the Ohel Moed. So that's Vayikra El Moshe. It was a one-time invitation to invite Moshe Rabbeinu into the Ohel Moed. Once he was invited, once there was the initial Vayikra El Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go into the Ohel Moed, and henceforth HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him constantly without the need to have to reiterate a kriya, a special invitation. But the initial entry of Moshe Rabbeinu into the Ohel Moed required this kriya, this invitation. Shekvar nemar l'Moshe v'nuranti l'cha sham, v'dibarti itcha mi'al ha-kaporis. Kodesh Baruch Hu had told Moshe Rabbeinu back in Sefer Shmos that he will speak to Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the kaporis, on top of the covering of the Aron. V'kevon shiyodash Hashem Yoshev akruvim sham. Once Moshe Rabbeinu realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, was sitting there, was poised there between the Kruvim, on top of the Aron, Nisyore Lavo Ba'oel Klal. Moshe Rabbeinu feared to go into the Ohel Moed altogether, Ad Sheyikra Ilov, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to him. And here, the next thing the Ramban says, I think, is very crucial, and we'll just pause after that, and just analyze what the Ramban is saying. Kasher Asa Bahar Sinai, She'omar Vayikra El Moshe Ba'yom HaShvi Mitocha Anon. And in this way, the experience of Ohel Moed paralleled exactly the experience at Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu descended, so to speak, on Har Sinai in a cloud. And at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it describes, literally with the same terminology, Vayikra El Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls to Moshe Rabbeinu from the cloud which has descended upon Har Sinai. He calls to him, and then Moshe Rabbeinu enters into the cloud, and there he receives the Torah itself. So what the Ramban is doing over here is he's continuing an analogy which he had already set up in Parshas Truma between the experience of Har Sinai and the experience of being in the Mishkan. There back in Parshas Truma, the Ramban had told us that part of the rationale, part of the motivation in building the Mishkan would be that the Mishkan would be a continuation of the concept of Har Sinai, that Har Sinai was a one-time event, but the Mishkan would be a way of perpetuating that event in many ways, and that's why the Ramban says that the Aron is the centerpiece of the Mishkan. The Aron, of course, holds the Aseres HaDibros, it represents the giving of the Torah. Even the gold of the Aron and the gold of so many of the Kalim, of the vessels in the Mishkan, is supposed to be reminiscent of the fire, the Esh, which enveloped Har Sinai. So here too we have another parallelism to Har Sinai, that the Mishkan has God's presence descend upon it. Right at the very end, of Sefer Shmos, in last week's Sedra, we read how Uchvod Hashem, let's just get the pasuk for a moment, we read at the very end how Vaychas he'onan es o'el moed Uchvod Hashem mole es ha'mishkan. This is Perek Mem and Shmos, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. The cloud covered over the O'el Moed, the glory of God filled up the Mishkan. V'lo yochol Moshe lavo el O'el Moed, ki shochan ha'olav ha'onan. Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to come into the O'el Moed because the cloud rested upon it, Uchvod Hashem Moleis ha'mishkan, and God's glory filled up the Mishkan. So basically, the way the Ramban understands the Psukim is that initially, after the Mishkan was completed, God's glory descended upon it in the form of a cloud, just as God's glory descended upon Har Sinai. And just as Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to go up to Har Sinai until Vayikra El Moshe, until he was invited to do so, so too writes the Ramban, the very beginning of Parshas Vayikra is that parallel invitation. Moshe Rabbeinu can't come into the Ohel Moed until he's invited to come in. So as a one-time event, the Moshe Rabbeinu is given a password. You know, they give him a link to come into the Ohel Moed, into the Mishkan. Vayikra Moshe, you're invited, you can come in, and henceforth Moshe Rabbeinu is given ready access into the Mishkan. But again, according to the Ramban, it just underscores this theme that the Ramban has reiterated numerous times, that the Mishkan is really meant to parallel the Har Sinai experience. The Ramban then points out that there is another way of reading Vayikra El Moshe, and that seems to be the way Chazal, at least in the Taras Kohanim, in the Medrash, explain it. He says, V'rabu Seinu Amru, ki l'chol dibros, u'l'chol ho'amiros, u'l'chol atzivuyim, kod makriya. According to Chazal in the Taras Kohanim, the statement Vayikra El Moshe, that Hashem called to Moshe, is not just unique to the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Indeed, it just serves to illustrate what was always the case. Every time Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, there was always a kriya, there was always a call to Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? Klomar, Shiomer Elov Moshe Moshe. Hashem would call out to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Moshe, V'yomar Hineini, and Moshe would say, here I am. V'zeh derech chiba, v'ziruz l'moshe. And this was a way of showing love towards Moshe Rabbeinu. We know Chazal say that whenever a person is called by his name twice, Avraham, Avraham, Shmuel, Shmuel, it's always an expression of love that the one calling, in most cases Hashem, has for the recipient. And it's a way of inspiring Moshe Rabbeinu to receive the particular words that Hashem is about to say to him. So you have to ask, according to Chazal, that this was always the manner in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacted with Moshe Rabbeinu, so why mention it specifically over here? So the answer is, says the Ramban, Bavur, Shutchilas Hadibur Shahoyo Ilov Me'o El Moi, Lelamir Al Kulam, Kichen Yeh Mishpato Kalayom B'Uchal HaTorah. Since this is the very first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating to Moshe Rabbeinu from the O'el Moed, again, the O'el Moed was just built at the end of Sefer Shmos, this is the first communication, so it says Vayikra El Moshe, but again, says the Ramban, according to this interpretation, don't think that Vayikra El Moshe is unique to this particular encounter between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Every single time HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, he would always preface the instruction by saying, Moshe, Moshe, by calling out to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe would say, Hineini, here I am. Again, in a way similar, a manner similar to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to Avraham Avinu by the Akedah. And after Moshe would say, Hineini, here I am, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would then proceed to teach him whatever it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach him. So this, the Ramban acknowledges, this understanding of Chazal is different than the way the Ramban explained before on the simple level, on the pshat level. But again, you know, the Ramban is committed to the idea that you can understand the psukim and chumash on multiple levels. Just on a very, very, in order to take away a lesson for us, there seems to be an educational lesson in this idea that is conveyed by the Ramban in the name of Chazal. Even a Moshe Rabbeinu needs a heads up to prepare himself for learning Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, even Moshe Rabbeinu can't just fall in to the learning directly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first has to get his attention. Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu has to acknowledge, you know, I'm here, Hineini, I'm ready to go. And, you know, only after that can the process of education begin. So certainly Kal Vachomer, for those of us who are not Moshe Rabbeinu, which I think is all of us, that we need just a moment of two or two of preparation before we're ready to learn anything in Torah. Okay, that's a, as it were, that's an appetizer for tonight, just a, you know, a little discussion about the words Vayikra El Moshe and how they're meant to be understood. I wanted to start, we won't get through the whole thing, but I wanted to at least start and discuss a little bit a very famous Ramban, who talks about an even more famous Rambam, with regard to the Karbonos in general. We know Parshas Vayikra, and indeed Sefer Vayikra, are devoted in large part to the Karbonos. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to bring Karbonos? So here, in Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes, the Ramban quotes the following. He says, it's a couple of lines into the Ramban. V'nei b'hakosuv hazeh tam ha-karbonoshim ish areach nicho'ach l'Hashem. In this Pasuk, in Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes, says the Ramban, the Torah is teaching us why the Karbonos are brought all together. The Pasuk says, the Kohen should offer up everything on the Mizbeach. Ola ishe reach nichoach l'Hashem. It is a burnt offering, a fire offering, a pleasant smell offered up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? So v'amar harav b'mar ha-nevuchim. The Rambam writes in his famous Mar Nevuchim, his Guide to the Perplexed, Kitam ha-karbonos, the reason that we have karbonos, is Bavur Shamitzrim Vakazdim, the Egyptians and the Babylonians, Asherhoyu Yisrael Gerim Visoshovim Ba'artsom Me'olam, the Jewish people had lived in the land of the Egyptians and the Babylonians, Hayu Ovdim Labakar Vlatzon. Those nations used to worship sheep and cattle. Ki Amitzrim Ovdim Latle, the Egyptians would worship the sheep. The Babylonians would worship various demons, whom they depicted as being goats. So they would worship sheep. They would worship goats. And says the Rambam, to this day, the people of India will not slaughter a cow out of the belief that the cow is somehow holy. Bavur Kain, Siva Lishchot Eila Shloshamin Lashem Anichbod. Says the Rambam, it's for that reason that the Torah insists that we sacrifice and slaughter these three types of animals, the sheep, the ox, and the goat, Lashem Hanichbod, that we should slaughter them and sacrifice them to Hashem. Kadesh Yivoda, in order that it be known, Ki Adova Shuyachoshim Shem Betachlis Hoaveira, Hu Asher Yakrivu Labore, Uvo Yiskapru Hoavonos. People should realize that these things, which they thought were deities, are actually utilized, they're not deities at all, they are animals which are meant to be sacrificed to Hashem, and by sacrificing these so-called deities, that's how Klal Yisrael can achieve a kapara, an atonement for their averos. Ki kein yisrapu ha'emunos ha'rosh ha'im manvei ha'nefesh. Through sacrificing these so-called deities, Klal Yisrael can heal their false ideologies. Ki chol manvei v'chol chol lo yisrapu kim behefcho. Says the Rambam, who is a doctor, the only way to really cure a malady, to cure some kind of sickness, is to apply the opposite. So in other words, if there was a ideological sickness that Klal Yisrael suffered from, namely, that they thought that these animals were gods, so comes the Torah and says, sacrifice these animals, kill these animals, and you'll see very quickly that they're not gods. Eil Dvarov, this is what the Rambam has to say, Vohem Herich. And the Rambam speaks about these ideas at length. Right, so the Rambam famously over here is, you know, seems to put forward the idea that karbonos don't have inherent value, The whole point of Karbanos was basically to wean the Jewish people away from worshipping Avodah Zarah. The Jewish people were susceptible to the false ideologies of the Egyptians, of the Babylonians, who saw these animals as being gods, as being deities. So the whole system of Karbanos was basically set up to address this mistaken notion that the Jewish people had. Says the Ramban, V'hinei heim divrei havoi. Anything that the Rambam says on this topic is absolutely wrong. There's nothing correct in what the Rambam has to say. Yasu shulchan Hashem megoal she'enenu rak lahotzi miliban shalishar v'tip she'olam. How can the Rambam possibly say that, says the Ramban? It makes the Rambam's interpretation, as it were, renders the Mizbeach into a disgusting thing. Because the whole point of the Mizbeach, according to the Rambam, is simply to prove the idolaters of the world wrong. That's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk that was our point of departure, and the Pasuk repeats this idea many, many times over, is that the Karbanos are a source of pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're Reach Nichoach. They are a sweet smell before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're an Isha. They're a fire offering which is Lechem, which is like food, as it were, for the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Psukim seem to indicate that there is an inherent value to the Karbanos. So how can the Rambam possibly say that the only value of the Karbanos is to disprove the idolaters of the world? And the Ramban goes on to point out how, according to the Rambam, it's hard to understand various different karbanos that are offered up in history outside of the system of karbanos dictated by the Torah. So he says, for instance, v'hinei noach b'tseiso min ha-tevam, skipping through a little bit, v'hinei noach b'tseiso min ha-tevam shloshes banov, when Noach came out of the ark with his three sons, ein ba'olam kasti o mitzri. There wasn't a Babylonian in the world at that point. There wasn't an Egyptian in the world at that point. There was no point in bringing Karbanos simply to establish that we bring Karbanos to Hashem, or that these animals are not, you know, should not be deified in any way. And yet, nonetheless, Hikriv Karbon, Noach brought a Karbon. The first thing he does, right after he comes out of the Teva, is to bring a Karbon. Vayitav b'nei Hashem. Hashem is pleased with the Karbon. V'omar bo, and the Pasuk says, V'yorach Hashem is reyach ha-nichoach. U'mimenu omar alibo lo'osif o'lukalus o'adom o'bavur ha'adom. Read the Psukim, says the Ramban. It says that right after Noach comes out of the Teva, right after Noach comes out of the Ark, he brings this Karbon. Hashem, as it were, smells the savory smell of the Karbon. Again, obviously it's not meant literally, but it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu took pleasure in the Karbon. And in response to the bringing of the Karbon, says Hashem, okay, I made up my mind, I'm not going to destroy the world anymore. Why? Because of the Karbon that Noach brought. That's what this Psukim seemed to indicate. So says the Ramban, so how can you tell me that a Karbon is just a concession? I mean, here the Karbon seems to have inherent value when it's brought before Hashem. The Hevel, if we go back even further into history, so Hevel, right, the very beginning of history. So Hevel brings a Karbon, an animal Karbon, and it says that Hashem was pleased with the animal Karbon. You know, that's why he seemed to show favor to Hevel over Cain. At that point, there wasn't even a thing called Avodah Zarah, called idolatry. So, you know, clearly you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, values the Karbanos in an inherent sense, not just in the sense of teaching us that Avodah Zarah is wrong. A third example. U'bilam omar, eshivas ha-mizbechos arachti, vo'al par vo'ayo ba-mizbeach. When Bilam wants to curse the Jewish people, he brings Karbanos. So why does he bring Karbanos? It was certainly not Bilam's intent to show that Avodah Zarah, that idolatry, was wrong. He himself was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He was an idolater. Bilam brought the Karbanos in order to draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Lashon HaKarbanos is Karboni Lachmi L'Ishai Reach Nichochi V'Cholila Shelo yehi bo'en shum to'elos v'rotz v'cholos avodazom idas ha'shotim. God forbid, says the Ramban, that the Rambam should be correct, that the only point of the Karbanos should be to teach us that the idolaters, that the Avdei Avodah Zarah are wrong. Clearly there's some inherent value if Noach brought a Karban, and Hevel brought a Karban, and Bilam brought a Karban, and they all seem to have been successful with their Karbanos in all three cases. It seems as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested and happy that they brought Karbanos, so clearly there's some kind of inherent value that the Karbanos possess. So the Rambam dismisses this Rambam. And indeed, there's much ink spilled to try to defend the Rambam. The Rambam's position that the whole system of Karbanos, to which much of Sefer Vayikra is devoted, the notion that that's just a concession and doesn't have inherent value on its surface just seems very, very difficult to accept. It's also difficult because the Rambam himself, in Mishneh Torah, first of all devotes two of the 14 Svarim of Mishneh Torah to a detailed discussion of the Beis HaMikdash and Karbanos. And, number two, the Rambam himself at the end of Hilchos Tzmura writes very movingly and poetically about how the various Karbanos all represent secrets that we don't really understand about how we can draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He talks about the inherent value that the Karbanos themselves have. So the Rambam Mishneh Torah, who emphasizes the inherent value of the Karbanos and devotes so much time to the Karbanos, seems to be a little bit at odd, not just a little bit, seems to be very much at odd with what the Rambam himself writes in the Mor Nevuchim. So besides all of the questions that the Ramban raises against the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim in his own right, how do you reconcile the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim with the Rambam and Yad HaChazakah, the Rambam and Mishneh Torah? Parenthetically, we should just point out, people sometimes quote this Rambam as saying that the Rambam said that when the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, there won't be animal sacrifices anymore. The Rambam does not say that. One can definitely see where you could potentially extrapolate that from what the Rambam says, because again, if the Rambam is saying that the Karbanos were a means to an end and not an end in themselves, so you could see how somebody could come to the conclusion that, once the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and we no longer have the need for this means to an end, maybe the means will disappear. You could understand why somebody would say that. I think we'll try to see in the next few moments why that's not correct, but at least you could see where that comes from. But again, it's important to point out, the Rambam never says that explicitly. Anyone who attributes that idea to the Rambam is only doing so by implication, and not actually quoting something real that the Rambam himself actually says. Okay, so how do you reconcile the Rambam with the Rambam? How do you defend the Rambam against the attacks of the Ramban? So the Abarbanel, in his comments in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, quotes the Ramban, and attempts to explain where the Rambam was coming from. So I should point out, before we take a look at that, the Abarbanel was not a reflexive defender of the Rambam. There are many, many other circumstances where the Rambam, will take a position, and the Abarbanel will be critical of the Rambam. He will take the position, he will say that the Rambam was overly influenced by Greek philosophy, and that the Rambam's position on a given issue does not reflect the proper Hashkafas HaTorah, does not reflect, the thinking of the Torah, of Chazal, and the like. So the Barbanel was not afraid to say that when he thought that was correct, but here he doesn't say that. Here the Barbanel believes that the Rambam is correct against the Ramban, but he explains the Rambam in a unique way. Says the Barbanel, first of all, you should realize that there are many, many statements in Chazal that point to the idea of Karbanos being a means to wean Klal Yisrael away from Avodah Zarah. Right? So, he quotes a bunch of them, but first of all, a couple of examples. Chazal say at the end of Menachos, Kala Osik Batara, Eno Tsarach Lo Chatos Vlo Olo Vlo Asha Vlo Mincha. If you learn Torah, you don't need any of those of these karbanos. He quotes a Gemara in Makos that says, Yom Shato Yoshev Osik Batara is better me elef olo sha'asit shlomo bincha la'akriv agavi ha'mizbeach. A day of David HaMelech sitting and learning is better than all of the thousand of korbanos that Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring on the Mizbeach. Right? And other such gemaras. Amar Tuvia bar Matanya, Amar Rabbi Yoshiyahu, Mahu tishmu l'hakriv li b'moado? When the pasuk says by the Karban Tamid that you should guard it to bring it to me, to sacrifice it before me in the right time, what does that mean? It means, says the Gemara, leave lolo adon acher, bring the Karban to me, not to any other master. Mazehu adon shemakriv lo evi omer zavod azara. In other words, according to Chazal, tishmu l'hakriv li b'moado means bring the Karban Tamid to me. Don't bring it to anyone else. Don't bring it to Avodah Zarah. Again, the emphasis being, like the Rambam, that the Karbanos, at least in part, have a purpose of refocusing the Jewish people, that they shouldn't bring their Karbanos to Avodah Zarah, they should bring them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. And he quotes many other such Mamari Chazal, statements from Chazal, where the Abarbanel claims that the Rambam did not get this idea as a kind of apologetic, you know, that he got out of Greek philosophy. Really, it derives from the statements of Chazal themselves, who see the Karbanos as serving the purpose of weeding the Jewish people away from Avodah Zarah. However, says the Abarbanel, the way to reconcile the Rambam with the Rambam is really the following fashion. It's true that one purpose of the Karbanos is to wean the Jewish people away from Avodah Zarah. It's equally true that the Karbanos have inherent value. Says the Abarbanel, it's not a contradiction to say that a particular activity has inherent value, but it also serves as a means to an end. So what's the point of something which is both an end in itself and a means to an end? So says the Abarbanel, look, it is true that there are perhaps higher forms of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly than Karbanos. A person who immerses himself in tefillah, person who immerses himself in Talmud Torah, can access HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ways in which bringing a Karban alone is not going to work. And he says that's why you find in the Nevi'im, that the Nevi'im constantly criticize the Jewish people for bringing Karbanos, but not engaging in other acts of Chesed and Mishpat and things of that nature. The Karban can get you close, but it can only get you so close. If you engage in acts of Chesed and Mishpat, it gets you even closer. But at the same time, it's certainly the case that the Karban does get you close. It is an end in itself. It may not be the only way to come close to Hashem. It may not even be the highest way of coming close to Hashem. But it does serve a very, very important purpose. And it's one tool that we have in our spiritual arsenal. It's a tool that enables us to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do we believe that when the Beis HaMikdosh is going to be rebuilt, that there will be animal Karbanos once again? Of course we do. Right? Because that is maybe not the highest form of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's an incredibly, incredibly important tool to enable us to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, if you only focus on that, to the absence of other things, it's not going to work. At the same time, not only is the bringing of Karbanos an end in itself, but it also is a means to an end. Besides its inherent value, it also serves to move the Jewish people away from Avodah Zarah. When the Rambam wrote in Mor Nevuchim that it was a way of moving Klal Yisrael away from Avodah Zarah, he was giving a partial insight into the role that Karbanos play. The Rambam did not mean to say that that's the be-all and end-all of Karbanos. And that's why when in the Mishnah Torah he devoted so much space to talking about the Karbanos, he devoted so much space to assuming that the Karbanos would be reinstituted. And that's why in the end of Hilchos Tzmura, he wrote poetically and movingly about, you know, what the Karbanos are able to accomplish in bringing us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all correct. Something could be an end in itself and a means to an end at the very, very same time. Okay, so we talked a little bit more about the Rambam than we did about the Ramban, but I thought, you know, it's a very, very celebrated, oft-discussed Rambam. I thought it would be interesting to bring the Ramban's objections with the Abarbanel's attempts, you know, to explain the Rambam, you know, against all of the proofs that the Ramban brings, that the Karbanos have inherent value. According to the Abarbanel, yes, the Rambam acknowledges that the Karbanos have inherent value. It's just that the Rambam is also focusing on the fact that besides the inherent value, they also have this, call it instrumental value, that they serve as a means to an end to wean Klal Yisrael away from the system of Avodah Zarah. Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up in Pirkei Avos, where we left off last week. I want to take a few minutes now, as we do every night, just to say Tehillim and to say the Mishaberach for the Cholim. So again, we'll start with Kapitel Tzadi Aleph 91. Yoshev b'seser el yor b'tzel shaddai yislonon Omer ladunai machsiyum sudosi Elohai yiftach bo Kiu yatsi lecho mipach yokush midever avos Berosso yosech loch v'sachas kinofov techsem Sina v'sochero amito Lo siro mipachadoi lo mecheis yof yomam Midever bof el yaloch miketev yashud sahroyim Yipom etzidecho elef urvavo miminecho Eilecho lo yigosh Rak beinecho sabit v'shilumas v'shoim tire Ki ato adonoi machsi el yon tzamto meonecho Lo sun elecho ro v'nega lo yikrav yo alecho Ki malocho v'yitzav eloch lishmarcho v'chol derochecho Al kapayim yisonecho Pentigov bo even raglecho Al shachal v'fesen tidroch timros kefir v'sanin Ki v'choshak v'yafaletei u'asagveyu ki odashimi Yiko eini v'eneyu imo anochi v'tzoro Achaletzeyu v'yachabedeyu Orech yomim asbiyeyu yareyu v'shuosi We'll do Kuf Mem Beis 142 Maskil l'David B'yosov amora Sefilo Koli el Adonai Ezok Koli el Adonai Eschanon Eshpoch l'fonov Sichi Tzorosi l'fonov Agid B'satev Olai Ruchi V'yato Yodato Nesivosi B'arachzu Aleich Tomenu Fachli Habei yominu revi ein li makir Ovad monos mimeni ein doresh lenafshi Zuakti eilecho Adonai Omarti ato machsi chalki bi eretz hachayim Hakshiva rinosi kidolosi miyod Hatsileinu mirodefai ki ometsu mimeni Otsio mimasker nafshi lo dosa shemecho Biachtiru tzadikim ki sigmal oloi Mishaberach avuseinu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov Moshe v'Aaron Dovid v'Shlomo Yivarech l'rafi yisacholim Avush will not know the stock of Avram is Khazar al Shbar khu yimalay rakhm alay lakhni wal rakh posan akhsi kan akh yosam shlakh lo emir fu ashlem rashoma yim khalay varian khagi day am sok shakh lo Israel fu asan ev shu fu asaguf ashta baglo is van kori bin omar amen I both say I'm planning davening Ma'ariv at 8:02 tonight Be'ezus Hashem. Also want to bring to your attention Be'ezus Hashem starting tomorrow night at 8:30 we'll have a Shir Maseches Tomid for those who want to try to finish up that Masechta and make a Siyum Erev Pesach, and everyone certainly is welcome to join that. Wish everybody a wonderful evening, and everyone should stay well and stay safe and stay healthy.